Ayayadapi asavi.
Ayayadapi asavi.
Ayayadapi ashadvi.
Ayayadapi asavi.
Jigang sayai, boy. Jigang saya payayad api asadvi.
Jigang saya
payayad api asadvi. Lebe gatim datri uchitam tatonyam. Kamva dayalum sharanam vrajayama. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam. Jigang saya payayar api asadvi. Lebegatim datri uchitam tatonyam. Kamva dayalum sharanam vrajayama. Boliye.
Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam.
Jigang saya payayad api asadvi.
Gatim
datvetam vadoyam. Anam dayam to saranam saraybam.
Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam.
Jigang saya yagati apyasadvi. Lebe gatim dati uchitam tatoyam. Tam gadayam vadayalam sharam varajam. Aho bakiyam stanakala kotam. Jigang saya aya payat api tadi. Lebe gatim datri uchitam tatayam. Kamva dayalam sharanam rajenam. Aho.
Aho.
Alas. Baki.
Baki.
The she-demon, Putana, Yam, Hum, Stana, of her breast, Kala, deadly, Kutam, poison, Jigangsaya, out of envy, Apayat, nourished, Api, although, Asadvi, unfaithful. Lebe, achieved. Gatim, destination. Datri uchitam, just suitable for the nurse. Tata, beyond whom? Anyam, other. Kam, who else? Va, certainly. Dayalum, merciful. Sharanam, shelter. Vrajema,
I shall take.
Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. Bye. Here is an example of this extreme mercy of the Lord, even to his enemy. It is said that a noble man accepts the good qualities of a person of doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar from a stock of poison. In his babyhood, he was administered deadly poison by Putana, a she-demon, who tried to kill the wonderful baby. And because she was a demon, it was impossible for her to know the Supreme Lord, even though playing the part of a baby, was no less than the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. His value as the Supreme Lord did not diminish upon his becoming a baby to please his devotee, Yashoda. The Lord may assume the form of a baby or a shape other than that of a human being, but it does not make any difference in the slightest. He is always the same Supreme. A living creature, however powerful he may become by dint of severe austerities, penances, can never become equal to the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of a living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? So Uddhava is meditating upon all these fantastic qualities of Krishna, unlimited, innumerable, unfathomable, right? Yeah, qualities like that, one after another. But of course, you know, they're unlimited and they're innumerable, so he can't meditate on all of them. So he's picking some, you know, according to his taste, you know, his ability, his nature, you know, to glorify Krishna. I mentioned the example, one time I was working for a Swedish cabinet maker. His name was Gunnar Lind. He was, you know, born in Sweden, came to America, nice person. But he had a kind of small, carpentry shop like that, place like that. Did a lot of kind of artistic work. So I was working for him, and somebody brought in this crystal. It was about like this long, and about this big in diameter, like that. You know? It was irregular. It wasn't really polished in a real refined sense. So it still had kind of rough character to it, but it was very beautiful. And he wanted Gunnar to mount it somehow or other, to glorify it, right? And to illuminate it. So he kind of sat there for a little bit. He was kind of looking at it in a couple of days. Then he took one piece of a hardwood, about like, you know, that square. Yeah, like that. But pretty thick. It had a real dark, you know, grain to it with almost black sections and like that. It was very beautiful hardwood. I sanded it, he oiled it. And then he took it and he cut across it. Like this. You know, like that. Inside. cut a groove inside. Like that. You know. So inside like this. Then put some silicone glue inside and tap the crystal inside it. Just perfectly, just snugly, you know. So then it came like this, you know. So it stuck out on both sides like that, and then it was inside the thing like that. You know, he cut a groove inside the wood at an angle, and stuck the crystal inside. Whoop, you know, like that. You know, okay? Yeah. So both sides stuck out, and it was a really, really nice contrast. Yeah, because the crystal was so hard and crystal color, and the wood was this dark other color. So the two together like that, it brought out the qualities of both like that. And the angle, you know, was different angle. So it made it very, very, you know, prominent. It looked very nice. And the guy paid $200, $300. Yeah, for cutting a piece of wood, you know. But it's the thing is the sensitivity. Appreciating the qualities of Krishna, you know, and finding some way to amplify those, to illuminate those, to glorify those. You know, Prabhupada says that Krishna by himself is not very attractive. But when surrounded by his potencies, especially his pleasure potency, the gopis, he looks very nice. Yeah. So that's our job. You know, Krishna by himself is not very attractive. But our job is to, you know, somehow or other, right, cooperate You know, in the whole sankirtan of Lord Srila Prabhupada, you've got the French horn, the tuba, the clarinets, the violins, the sarangi, the esaraj, you know, all these different things like that. And they all combine together to make the holy names look very beautiful. Huh? The drum, the kirtan, all these things, the drum, the kartals, they shouldn't cover the holy names, right? The whole thing is to hear the name of Krishna, not to cover it by loud drums and loud kirtans. And also Prabhupada is saying, recommending not to play harmonium during kirtans, because it's so attractive, the mind will be pulled away by the melody, trying to enjoy the sweetness, you know, and forget the holy names. But it's a whole subtle thing. You can play it sometimes and in, you know, different ways like that. So it's a whole science glorifying Krishna, right? Krishna always exists at the height of artistic craftsmanship. This is in Yasumati Nandana Braja Boranagara, that one song. Well, he's always existing at the excellence, you know, the most excellence of the best music, the best architecture, the best ornamentation, the best clothing, the best social relationships. And Krishna is, looks very good, like that. Yeah? It says that Krishna came to Vrindavan and he created an empire of different loving exchanges, and then he crowned himself the undisputed king of everything. After he made the whole thing, and he made himself the king of it, like that, with all these loving exchanges. So here, Uddhava, a very beautiful meditation. You know, starts back here, a few verses back here. Yeah. Who after smelling the dust of his lotus feet even once could ever forget it? Simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna gave the death blow to those who were burdened to the earth. You have personally seen how the king of Chedi, Shishupal, achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Krishna. Even the actual yogis aspire after such success with great interest by performing their various practices. Who can tolerate separation from him? Certainly others who were fighters in the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows. And while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. Lord Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes. He is independent and supreme by achievement of all fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. Therefore, Vidura does it not pain us, his servitors, when we remember that he, Lord Krishna, used to stand before King Ugrasena, who was sitting on the royal throne, and used to submit explanations before him, saying, "O my Lord, please let it be known to you, Aho Baki Yam Stanakala Kutam, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he, who granted the position of a mother to a she-demon, Putana, although he was unfaithful, and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast." So Krishna is the most appreciative. Yeah? He's a supreme enjoyer. Right? I mean, you or I may enjoy something, but somebody else may come along and say, "Oh, you didn't see this and that. Look at it this way. Ah, compare it to this. Ah, oh, very nice." Yeah? Even though we're infinitesimal, Krishna is so greedy that he wants to enjoy everything, every marble in his marble collection, every, you know, coin, right? Every jewel. You know? So he's so greedy that every living entity is never too small to attract Krishna's attention by doing something. Yeah? We have free will. If we're in the spiritual world, just being there is our choice. We don't have to stay there. Krishna's not forcing us to stay there, right? You know, by pleasure or pain. So if we're there, right away Krishna knows we're there because we want to be there. Yeah? And if we do something, it's like, he's interested. Even Krishna can't figure out what the living entities are going to do. Right? The gopis are full of unpredictable emotional states. Even they don't know what's going to happen. So the spiritual world is full of novelty and variety and, you know, exciting things happening. Yeah? And so Krishna's interested in everybody. Yeah? And here, it's describing his merciful nature. You know? Lord Shiva, when Sati is chastising her father, very surprising activity, you know. But for his own benefit, because actually she's the mother of the universe, even Daksha's mother. You know, so for his own benefit, she's correcting his behavior so he doesn't have more bad reactions. And she says, an ordinary person, the low-class person, he sees people's bad qualities and ignores their good qualities, right? To praise is mandatory. To criticize is optional. That's in the story of Ramachandra Puri. To praise is mandatory. To find the good qualities, you have to do that. But to criticize people, that's optional. You don't have to do it. You can do it, but you don't have to. Yeah. But a low-class person, he takes it the opposite, right? To find people's faults is required, and to praise them is optional. You know people like that? Yeah? Yeah. So an ordinary person, he sees people's good qualities and bad qualities. And a superior person, he sees people's good qualities and doesn't take much account of their bad qualities. But Lord Sati says, but Lord Shiva is even beyond that. He takes people's bad qualities and sees them as good qualities. Like that. Someone comes to rob you and sticks a gun on you, and you say, oh, what a very nice pistol. I'm very honored to be robbed by a robber with a nice pistol. Like that. Thank you very much. Here's all my money. Let me write a check out for you too. Such a, you know, it's not a good job you're doing, but you're doing it very well. So this robber is bewildered, like that. Yeah, but this is Lord Shiva. You know, he's the incarnation of Krishna. So same way, you know, he's to Krishna's. Here he's not taking your bad qualities as good qualities, but at least he's taking only your good qualities, like that. So how to take shelter of a more merciful person? And because Krishna is like that, you know, then the parampara is like that. Samsara davanala lila loka trinaya koruna gana kanatman. Says the spiritual master has no mercy. Right? He doesn't have any mercy of his own. He's taking mercy from the ocean of mercy. Right? Like that. So you start dealing with people and they're, you know, your subordinates and they're causing you so many problems in so many ways and this and that, you know. But then you begin to realize, wow, but you know, my superiors, you know, Prabhupada, he's always tolerated me for years, right? Put up with me for years. So how can I be, you know, critical of somebody else like that, considering how much mercy I've gotten, you know? And also too, I'm secure. I mean, I have mercy, you know, so I don't have to like depend upon my subordinates for, you know, for doing things to satisfy me. I can tolerate their mistakes, everything else, and guide them and help them and go on like that. You know? But sometimes too, you know, force and the chastisement is mercy. You know? But it's a big difference when we're doing it to enjoy ourselves and we're doing it as out of mercy for people. Then they appreciate that, you know. Yeah. After Lord Shiva actually cut off Daksha's head and everything else, he thanked him. He said, thank you. Because of my simple activities, I was going down, more and more, creating a horrible future for myself. But you could have just ignored me and walked away. But you were so kind that you actually stopped me and corrected me. He says, thank you. It's described that there are three levels of Prabhupada's anger. Yeah. One level, he would be irritated. You know, next level he would actually chastise devotees, and the third level he wouldn't say anything. That's when he was really disturbed. Yeah. He would point out the fault. You know, second level he would start chastising the devotees, and the third level he would just, you know, be quiet, just, you know, so disgusted he wouldn't even chastise people. Right? Yeah. So Krishna's very kind. He's killing Putana, you know, to correct her, to stop her bad activities, and seeing her good qualities. There's a famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
By Dale Carnegie.
Yes, he knows his book. Probably it's probably the most famous book on interpersonal relations. They still use it again and again. And he has like four principles or something like that. Very few principles. He illustrates each one. Yeah, one of them is the same thing we're talking about. He says, you know, don't flatter people, but actually look for their good qualities. You know, look for their good qualities. Take the effort to think about it and analyze it and see what they are. And then people will, you know, respect you, reciprocate with you, you know, like that. Tunadapi, Saniche na, Tororiva, Sahishnuna, yeah. Be more tolerant, be more humble than the grass, more tolerant than a tree. Ammanina. Yeah. No manina. No honor. Manadhina. Giving honor. Like that. Right? Not looking for people to honor me. Yeah? But always looking for other people's good qualities. Right? Yeah? One time one devotee asked Kirtanananda Maharaj, that time it was Kirtananda Maharaj, said, sometimes I feel irritated with devotees. You know, I feel angry at them, and you know, I don't want to, but I can't control my mind. How do I avoid this? He said, oh, look for their good qualities, right? And then help them in their service. You know, whatever their service is, you find out what it is and you help them. And automatically that your mind will become conditioned to seeing their good qualities, how they're engaged in devotional service. And you automatically will give up this, you know, different angry attitudes. But they did something, so you have like, you know, revenge towards them. Yeah. But you see what they're, how they're engaged in devotional service and actually help them. Do it. Do it. You're making flower garlands, help them. You're doing administration, ask them, help them. And that will change your psychology. So it's great. Information psychologists, you know, doing it, right? Yeah. So that's a great principle. Krishna, who can take shelter of a more merciful master than Krishna, right? An example is Putana. She was an evil witch. We described yesterday. Evil blood-sucking witch. Used to eat babies, right? She used to kill them by ghastly, sinful methods. I'd be thinking all day how different new ways of torturing babies to death. Whoa, evil person. Where was she born? You know? She was born in Vrindavan. Yeah. And the Brajmana Parikrama, they're describing this. You go to this village, it's called Kachari, the village like that. And then you stop a little bit, and they're describing the different pastimes, Leela. So Radharaman Maharaj is describing that, you know, okay, Putana was born here in this village like that, in Hindi, you know. And then one old man was listening, and some people were listening, and he says, oh, no, she wasn't born here. She wasn't born here. He says, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, you know. And the guy went away. And he said in English, he said, everybody knows she's born here in Vrindavan. Everybody knows this, you know. But nobody in the village likes to admit it. I'll say, oh, no, wasn't born. But everybody else, you know, it's called Kachari, you know. So Putana and her Agasura was her younger brother, and Bakasura was either, you know, was her brother, like that. So whole you know, interesting family, whole family of Bakasura, Agasura, and Putana. And Agasura was most sinful demon. Aga means sinful. Aga, sinful demon, very horrible guy. And so, you know, somehow or other, they took birth in Vrindavan, which means it's all by Krishna's arrangement. Yeah? And so, very special demons to be killed by Krishna personally. You know, adjust these different offenses. Who they were in their previous life, I don't know. You know, to get this position. Yeah. But that's it. And Prabhupada makes this point again and again, that Krishna, you know, she couldn't understand because of her sinful position. She couldn't understand. She couldn't understand she was sinful in some ways. Right? She had no perspective, really, to some degree, you know, because she couldn't understand Krishna, therefore she couldn't understand herself, you know, her spiritual nature and everything else. But so Krishna, even though we don't even know we're doing these things, he knows, but still, you know, he makes some adjustment, tries to help us. Okay, we'll try again. And he fell down. Let's try again. Let's try again. And yeah, eventually, Prabhupada says one devotee, he told him, he said, okay, you've stopped chanting your rounds, so start again. He said, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, and eventually you'll be able to do it. You know? Come back to the standard like that. You know? Yeah. So, you know, Krishna is so kind. He gives us, you know, whereas the Christian idea is what? You get one chance. If you're not correct, you go to hell forever. Like that. Many, many Christians reject Christianity, you know, because of that. Even they themselves, this doesn't make sense, right? You know, somebody's trying, but they mess up. You know, they engage in adultery and something like that. Well, tough luck, buddy. Go to hell, you know, forever. I'm God. You know? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't care. You know? Every day I'm going to invent new kinds of torture for you every day. So it's unlimited love, eternally. You know, it's kind of a bizarre God, you know? Yeah, yeah. And then simultaneously in the Bible, Christ says, if your children come to you asking for bread, do you give them stones? You say, well, no, sir, we give them bread. So how much more do you think your heavenly Father, a Father who is all good, knows how to take care of his children? Like that. So it says, God is not like that. You know, he's very, you know, if you can be generous and kind with your children, what does it speak of God? You know? Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, great purport, great example. Who can take shelter of someone more merciful than Krishna, who granted the position of mother to a she-demon? Although not even just, you know, just giving her liberation, but he took her into this confidential entourage like that. You know, it's strange. And she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. So any comments? Anybody else here? Other thoughts? Questions? Yes, sir.
This was in the seed verse of the Bible.
Huh?
Seed verse of the Bible.
This one?
Seed verse of the Bible.
Seeds. Bija.
Seed, yeah.
Bija. Bijlok. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's quoted many times. Huh? You find it being quoted many, many different times. The verse is being quoted by different people. Yeah. Ahobaki. Baka Sura. What does Baka mean? Duck? What is Baki? Huh?
She
duck?
She demon.
Demon. So Baka means demon? Yeah. Baka Sura. Yeah. Sister or brother, yeah. Like a duck. Oh, Baki. Oh, yeah, some pointers.
Yeah, it's like, honest. I always try to apply what I've read.
Yeah.
Qualities, I go to bed. And then sometimes we get into conversations, we just sort of put in a position where you have to make sort of a judgment call on something. Yesterday, Sarah Bowen was asking about the devotee, an Argentina devotee in Dallas.
Yeah.
And saying, maybe he could give the class in Spanish. They have class in Spanish here.
Yeah.
And we do it in Dallas. I'm trying to figure if there's anybody who could do it.
Uh-huh.
And I'd say, well, actually, that devotee's a little tangled right now. He's marrying a meteor that's 20 years younger than him. And he's left his wife and kids. And I just found myself kind of finding fault then just by describing what he's doing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was, it was kind of a managerial.
Yeah.
So when you get into that,
yeah.
When you're trying to rank, then you do.
Yeah.
You have to deal with all these people. How do you avoid finding faults when you have to kind of write?
Well, you find faults.
False shots too.
You find the faults. Different people are different people in different positions. That's why a brahmana, or uttamadhikari at that position, he doesn't have to find faults. Like that. But if somebody is coming to a different position, if he's an acharya, for madhyamadhikaris, or an acharya for kanishtadhikaris, then he has to see faults. Probably so many people, teachers say this, other people will praise you for you doing so good as you're learning diving, and now you do such beautiful diving, or some sport you're doing so well, playing the piano so well. Yeah, other people will praise you now. He said, but I will never praise you. I'm just go on finding all your faults forever like that. Socrates said, and Chanakapanda, the same thing, it's a very common thing. Chanakapanda said, it's better to have a wise man for an enemy than a fool for a friend. Yeah? And Socrates said it's better to have, against anything, because if he's your enemy, he'll criticize you. Whereas your friends will all just flatter you, and therefore you go on with the same problems, having the same distress again and again, and nobody will tell you, well, Misha, your problem is this. Thank you. Somebody finally, pointed it out to me, now I can see it. Yeah, so better to have a wise man for an enemy than a fool for a friend. Yeah. So if you're in different positions, then sometimes as an acharya, I think that's why Gadadhar Pandit was saying he couldn't become the guru of somebody because he couldn't take that position, being an acharya, some or other. So some people are in this position. It's kind of that same thing. Sometimes you say mother's love is unconditioned. That she loves her children just like that, whether they're good or bad, so on. Whereas a father's love is like, or your uncle is like, okay, I'll help you straighten this out with your father, but you got to promise me you're going to do this for me. Like that, in terms of like your character development. So different, you need both. You need your uncle and you need aunts. Aunts and uncles both. Mayapur. Doesn't matter what you do, except for offending Vaishnavas, she's always merciful. For Vrindavan, the second you make a mistake, she's after you. So Prabhupada Zera said, therefore, we need the combination of the Panchatattva mantra and the Maha mantra, Hare Krishna mantra. like that. Okay, you just go on chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya and worshiping Gaura Nitya, you'll never know if you're committing offenses. Yeah? They'll just go on tolerating. But with, you know, with Radha and Krishna, you see your offenses, okay. But then you need some mercy, so, you know, we take shelter of both these tattvas. So if you're in the position, somehow or other, like Krishna, again, Krishna wasn't criticizing Arjuna's attitude in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, but when he asked him to be his guru, then he said, okay, if you ask me to do this, I'll tell you the truth. You know, the truth is, you're an idiot. You know, you're accepting the body as the self. Yeah? 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 And so, one letter to Tushta Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada said in the beginning, force may be necessary to get people moving and stuff like that. He said, but unless it's applied expertly, there'll be a bad taste afterwards for everybody. The person who's applying it and the person who's, you know, being, you know, forced. So you have to be expert. If you're not expert, know your limits. At some point, like I correct people sometimes, you know, I chastise them or correct them to, like that. But I see, okay, that's about as far as I can go, you know. You know, still doing it wrong, but you know, all they can take is one chastisement a day, this guy, you know. Whereas somebody else, no, it's like he wants to get it right. He really wants you to tell him again and again like that, you know. So you have to know your limits. Your Prabhupada said one time, I can chastise people like this because I'm an old man. Right, and people accept, oh, old man's telling me to do this, you know, like that. But you can't do this because you're the peers, same level, and they'll react. The mother teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching her daughter. For example, in Bengal, daughter-in-law has come to the house, and she's, you know, doesn't want her mother-in-law to tell her what to do. So the mother-in-law knows this. So she tells her daughter, oh, your brother likes to eat this kind of food. He can't eat that. So the daughter-in-law is listening and stuff like that. You know. Yeah, so it's a very, very subtle art. You have to do this without being... The main thing is the motivation. It's the main thing, the fundamental thing. If you're actually people's well-wisher, you know, then everything else changes. One of my authorities one time, GBC secretary and everything else, he was, many things I was feeling were going wrong in the project. But I realized I was using these things as, like Arjuna, I was doing my duty, finding faults, but to a large degree so I could enjoy being better than others, you know, playing my false ego. Arjuna wants to do the same thing in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He wants to chastise Duryodhana and everybody else so he can enjoy, you know. So Krishna right away says, no, do your duty, chastise them, but without any personal idea of gain from this thing, you know. And higher than that is do it, you know, for their benefit. Do it for so Krishna is satisfied. Everybody benefits. Reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. So I got this mentality. The next time a problem came up in this relationship with our GBC secretary, I then expressed my opinion. But thinking, is it really for his benefit? Everybody's yes, for everybody's benefit. And I was amazed at the change. Immediately he was like listening and it was criticism. And it was like, well, but he could see he's actually doing it from our welfare. And then he explained to me why he was doing it a certain way, and I could see, like, oh, I didn't think about that. But you didn't think about this. He said, oh, it's true. So everything was resolved. And the problem was resolved, and everybody was happy. You know? So the main thing is that we're chastising people, you know, for their own benefit. You know? Yeah. And then how to do it, again, is the next thing. You know, it's like you got to be expert in terms of doing it. Like one was a Mahavishnu Swami said, I tell jokes during my lectures because when people laugh, you can throw in the bitter pill. Like that. So you're making a joke out of something which is actually a little difficult for people to handle, you know. But they're laughing, they kind of laugh, they kind of, you know, accept, yeah, it's true. You know, I've got to do that, I've got to take care of that. Yeah. Yeah.
Krishna is explaining, he's so merciful, it's so hard to be, you know. You see, in spite of the fact that people are not qualified, but still he does not take into consideration their, you know, disqualification. But still he's merciful out of the way. How he becomes, you have explained so much. How are you so much, you know, compassionate?
I just, when I become angry, you know, one purport Prabhupada says a spiritual master should not, how's it go, become angry at his disciples if they can't learn the lessons right away. Purport. But there are limits at some point. Yeah. So, my main thing is, again, I keep thinking, for example, like somebody's, doing something and they're, 27 years old and been a devotee for 3 years. And I say, why isn't he doing this and that? And I think, oh my God, like, what was I doing when I was 27 years old and I've been a devotee for 3 years old? 3 years. Wow, okay. He's doing better than I did. So let's look at it in perspective here. And how much, how much my superiors have tolerated me. Krishna is the source of all this mercy. And we appreciate how Krishna is being kind to us through our spiritual master, through our authorities, and we begin to, it's very easy to be tolerant to others, tolerate these things. And appreciating too, Krishna also, he'll compensate. It's a paramatma, he'll adjust things. From our position, we tolerate these different things and avoid them mostly, and go on and try and give people help, And from within, then Krishna is also, inspiring them, making adjustments. And then we see, it's very rare. Actually, the Shiva Jwara and the Narayana Jwara, the weapons of Shiva and Narayana, are fighting, because of Banasura, Lord Shiva, and that, And so then the Shiva Jwara is defeated. Extreme heat is defeated by extreme cold. And he comes and offers prayers to Krishna. And he says, in every situation there must be some goodness. Because without some goodness, things can't even exist. Right? So you're trying to find the good qualities in people like that. And there's no good qualities in this person. Absolutely no good qualities. And finally you say, Prabhu, thank you for existing. And his only good quality is he exists. Other than that, everything is bad. So, but like, you always find some good qualities in somebody. And we can always see that, that people are trying. I mean, I travel and I see so many, problems in different temples, different centers. And I think, oh my God, whole thing's going to collapse and fall to the ground, and the devotees will be dispersed, like cigarette wrappers on a windy day or something like that. And they come back and the center is better, and the social things have been, they beat out their problems and they got a little better, and it's amazing, really amazing. This movement is advancing because of the individual devotion and effort of all the devotees. Different people have big positions, they're doing something, but ultimately it comes down to is that people are sincerely trying to serve Krishna, right? Improve their character, change themselves. And so when you see that, it's like, very inspiring, to go on and help them some more and some more. And for me, traveling and preaching is hard. I was just, actually, one time in San Jose, one devotee, a very senior devotee, had a program every Thursday night in San Jose, and all the devotees would go there, and they would eat like big prasadam late at night, and nobody would come to the morning program afterwards. Kind of my evaluation of how good a program was and how many people come to Mangalartik the next day, So if nobody shows up, that's great, what a program was. So nobody was there from Mangalartik, my disciples and the Brahmins and everything else. The Pujari didn't show up. I got there, start chanting my rounds to go on the altar, wake up the deities, do the Artik and everything else, So I was doing my Tulsi Puja alone, and my mind was going to curse everybody, drown them all in rat poison, dipping them all in rat poison repeatedly. Like that, And, so rather than this idea came, inspiration from Krishna, why? Because the thing is, then next thing, Prabhupada says, be careful that you don't become also influenced by the same thing. Either you hate the sinner or you love him. Either way, oh wow, look, he's doing all these simple things. He's enjoying life. I wish I was like that. Maybe I'll also sleep late and do this and that. On the other side is, see here, this rascal, this demon, you demon! Like that. But either way, second canto says, either way you go to hell. The story of the Brahmin throwing rocks into the prostitute. Probably are like that. So either way you go to hell. So I was sitting there hating everybody, But then I was thinking, but no, I don't do that. I go to hell too. And I also, I wasn't attracted by you know, that, you know, program. But then I was thinking, well, what do I get by doing this? You know, kind of, I guess I'm being attracted by, you know, by, you know, falling in mind of myself. What do I get by doing all this? Getting up every day, going to the temple, and then maintaining the basic puja, the standard like that. Nobody else does it. You know, and then Krishna kind of responded, if you do this whole morning program like that, then you can go back to Godhead just by eating and sleeping. Right? The entire rest of the day, you can just eat good and sleep, and you'll go back to Godhead. And I was, my mind was going, okay. It's worth it, you know. So then the rest of the day, I just, you know, just did whatever I damn well pleased, and, you know, and it was very nice. You know, I didn't want to sleep all day. Just forget all, you know, I'm going to just do that. No, just do what I want to do for Krishna. Interesting. It was very nice. You know. So basically, Prabhupada said the same thing, basically. One time, Johnny Voss, you know, when Pujaris in Mayapur, said Prabhupada finished his beads and put his bead bag down and said, oh, 16 rounds done. Now I can do whatever I damn well please. Because it's a fact. You've forced your mind to be pure. So without extreme effort, your mind is naturally going to be engaged in devotional service all day long, thinking about Krishna if you do 16 good rounds. So that's it. Work really hard from 2 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock in the morning. Then after that, it's all play. Right? Somebody comes home from work, doesn't become Dracula, doesn't crawl in his coffin, he takes a bath, maybe just paper a little bit, has some supper, and his wife's going to do something, so he takes the kids to the mall, look for something, goes to some shopping, he's playing, he's still active, right? So same way, if you work like a brahmana, from 2 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock in the morning, and after that, making money, administration, Prabhupada says all these things will be at the end of your finger. At the end of your finger like that. I experienced it. Yeah. But you have to work, right? 8 hours of work. Somehow or other. You can work like a Brahmin, or you can work like a Kshatriya, or a Shudra. Right? And everybody has their happy hour. Notice that, right? For devotees, Mangal Arati is the happy hour. For the devotees, they come. You know. Now, I'm always amazed when the curtains open to see the beautiful dresses. And in many ways, the night dresses are better than the day dresses because they're very simple like that. A lot of Krishna's personal features are more, you know, like that. You know, well, very intimate time, very wonderful time. You know? And you learn the meaning of the song and everything else. You know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're, you know, or 4 o'clock in the morning, you're king of Houston. You can go any place you want to go. Do anything you want to do. Nobody has no one to watch you or anything else like that. You know, it's your city. You know? You know? So you come here at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and then chant nicely, everything else. And again, we're here, study, and then by 10 o'clock, Prabhupada says that by 10 o'clock, very serious reading and chanting, and your day is finished. At that point, okay, from then on, it's all just, you know. Then the happy hour for the businessmen starts, right? The banks are open. Other businesses are open. Now I can start calling these guys up and, hey, I got this. I got these pig gristle for sale. You know, pig futures, you know, hog futures. You know. Oh, okay, well, I'll trade this and that. You know, he's like, the happy hour for him is when the bank opens at 10 o'clock in the morning. And what's the happy hour for the fool? The shudra. When the bar is open, right? They advertise it. Happy hour, liquor, half price. After 1 hour, another drinks, half price. Now I don't have to work. I can just, you know, talk all kinds of stupid things with my friends for hours and smoke cigarettes and play and gamble and play games and pool, you know. Oh, yeah, this is it. You know? The happy hour. You know? We used to, our ashram in San Jose was about 10 minutes from the temple. And we have to come out of the ashram and walk past, was it Ruthie's Bar and Grill? It was a ghastly place, stunk like anything. Yeah. But Ruthie's Bar and Grill. And every Sunday they pull a whole big trailer out with a big barbecue pit and cook steaks outside like that. It was nasty, you know. And you go by, the smell was incredible. And just coming out of there, you gotta hold your breath and go by the place. You know. But they had pool tables and everything. It was a whole club, you know, for crows. You know. So you go by in the morning, and the place was closed. You may not know this, but there's in America, the bars used to close at 1 o'clock. You couldn't sell liquor in California after 1 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Then they increased it to 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock. You know. So there's a kind of a joking phrase that at 2 o'clock in the morning the bartender says, like, closing time, quitting time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Right? You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Like that, you know? No one wants to go home. They're so miserable, you know, passion. You know? So what happened, this place, Ruthie's Inn, they had tables out front, you know, for drinking. So we go by at 2 o'clock in the morning, the bar was closed, but people would be out there with like a beer bottle or something like that. Just really determined drinkers. Like a few guys that got smoking a few cigarettes, you know. But pretty much it was all finished, you know, by 2 o'clock in the morning, as a few guys were just kind of hanging in there. You know? It was passing for ignorance. And ignorance is decreasing and goodness is increasing. Like that. You know? So you see, if you like to sleep late, that's your mode. You get this karma. You know, you got to, you know, fight against it, develop your character. And after a while, it becomes a habit. All these things become habits. You know? Nonsense speech leads to nonsense thought, leads to repeated birth, death, disease, and old age. You're talking all kinds of nonsense, you know, watching television, reading magazines about stupidity, and you start thinking about all those things. You know? And then you birth, death, disease, and old age. Bhaktisiddhanta's phrase. You know, but it become conditioned every day to hearing, chanting, reading these things. And after a while, you can't not do it. Become conditioned to waking up. Now myself, I'm conditioned to wake up at 2 o'clock. I see, you know, I have 3 alarm clocks. Sometimes it takes all 3 to get me going like that. You know, and there are different techniques. You know, before I go to bed, I tell my mind, you know, program my intelligence. You know, okay, when the next thing you'll probably realize is when the alarm goes off, don't touch it until you turn the light on. So I wake up half dozed out and they're like, oh, don't do the light. You know, light on. I think a lot more chance to stay awake, you know. Then I got a snooze alarm, so a couple of those sometimes, you know. So see, the main thing is about eating at night, late at night, the night before. It's the main thing, or not properly, not enough also. Then I got my wristwatch goes off first. That's the one I haven't got yet. It goes off at like, you know, if I hear that one, wake up, then I know I'm like Uttamadikari. But then the other one, you know, goes off later. And that doesn't do it. They have my little recording device. It also has a thing that goes off. You can record a message like that. Hey, stupid. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Stupid. Get up. Fool. Yeah. So this morning it took all 3. To get up. But, okay, by 2 o'clock I was up. You know, and amazing too. You drink a glass of water. It's just amazing. This as you're drinking is just like, you know, like that. Every sip is like, you know. There's one whole book called "You're Not Sleepy, You're Thirsty." Right? You're not tired, you're thirsty. Because maybe what happens is the water pressure in the body drops, right? You're a little dehydrated, and so you start, you know, tired like that. So drinking water properly is a whole thing too. Taking water properly to stay alert and everything else. You know? And then start chanting, you know, and my mind is like, you know, going this way and that way, you know. And sometimes other people are asleep, so you can't chant so loud. It's a great thing, but if you can, other people are up and stuff like that, then it's all, you know, very nice time. Vipramukhya Prabhu said, the Prabhupada said 3 times, the best time to chant your rounds is before Mangalartik. Right? Okay, so 2 to 4, you can get all your rounds done, and really concentrate, you know, 16 rounds done. And when you come to Mangalartik, it's just like an explosion then. You know, because you're already Krishna conscious. Your mind's going this way and that way. You bring it back. Why do I have to think about Krishna? Well, because of this and that. Oh, okay. So you really educate your mind. So by the time you come to Mangalartik, you're a devotee. And you maybe your goals in mind, even what you want to pray for. And Radha and Krishna are there. You know, like that. You know the word by word meanings guiding you in your prayers, your orations, you say in Spanish. Oraciones. Yeah. And after that, he can just, you know, chant a few more rounds. Vaisheshika says he likes to, likes to get all his rounds done before Mangalartik, and after Mangalartik, he has his time to chant prayers and stuff like that, recite prayers and stuff. You know. And usually, you know, some puja, things come up usually, you know, different things like that. You know. And so then finally, you know, you imagine, by 10 o'clock in the morning, you have that prasadam and everything else, they point you just like, you know, Superman's, you know. Open the doors. Go out into the city. You know, people insult you and everything else. It doesn't bother you because inside, really, really, physically. One time, Hansa Duda, when the devotee was talking, he says, after you get up in the morning, okay, maybe you get up and there's this tendency to go take a nap, like this and that. You know, during the morning program, take a little nap. You know? He said that if you stay up and just chant your rounds like a soldier, we used to use that example a lot, like a soldier, you see, you'll see you have strength all day. And I saw it's a fact. Even myself, even I'm just like continuously, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's like even like I'm just continuously nodding out. My realization is still, it's better to stay awake. You know, specifically, one Shastra says if you sleep during the sandhya, after the stars disappear before the sun comes up, or in the evening after the sun goes down before the stars appear, sandhya, it destroys your health, your wealth, your everything is destroyed like that. It's attacked by ghosts right and left. You know, unbelievable. You know, horrible time to sleep. But in general, Brahma Muhurta, this morning time, then it's like psychic stamina you feel like inside. Like, so if somebody insults you or this or that, or something happens, it just doesn't touch you inside. You know, it's external, superficial. Socrates said, when people insult me, I raise my character up so high that I look down on them all, you know, like that. One French poet, he said, I urinate on you all from a great height. So, dirty meat eater, you dirty car meats. Yes, what is your question?
Yeah.
What is your criticism?
Sometimes when we go to the full mind program,
yeah,
we don't really come up and feel more super tired than Superman.
Okay.
And then you have to, those of us who have families to take care of,
yeah,
get the job world,
yeah,
and be, you know, so tired. So how do you?
No, so you got to adjust again too. Again, part of the attitude. If you're really doing a proper, like you mentioned before, right, the morning program starts about 4 o'clock in the afternoon the day before. You know, Prabhupada's kind of record of saying if you eat grains, it takes about 4 hours to 6 hours to digest them. A substantial meal of grains. So if you eat by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, means by 10 o'clock at night, you're just finally digesting them. So recommendation for brahmacharis was not to eat a big, any substantial meal of grains after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But different things like that. You can see, that's why you begin to see like how you're actually, everything's digested, and it's naturally by 10 o'clock at night, I'm just, or 9 o'clock at night, time to go to sleep. Ah, okay. And you sleep very soundly, good rest, very refreshed. And it's all you need. I mean, you know, like that. So you have enough, 6 hours, and then 9 o'clock, you get up by 3 o'clock. You know? And do the morning program. And then, maybe then you have an adjustment, just take a nap. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's program was, before breakfast, you have a little nap, you know, short nap. And then maybe after lunch, have a short nap. Just break, then go on to his, he basically had 3 jobs. Yeah. So yes, what happens when you sleep is the gross subtle body rises above the gross body, and it tends to orient itself towards the east or south. So if your head is facing west or north, when your gross body, subtle body goes back into your gross body, you feel like your brains are in your feet, like that. So you, like that, you know, thinking, oh, you know, so it takes, time of moving around everything else to get yourself reconnected. You know? So sleeping is a whole science too. So if your body, if the energy is out of the body like a hose and the water's running in it, you can't bend it. But it's, so all this prana is out of the body, then it relaxes. Then you can come out of your gross body, rise above it. If there's prana in the room, you can pick it up. But some rooms are just dead, like that. You can feel that it's just dead. Other places you're out in the forest and there's pine trees and so when you sleep a short time, you wake up just feeling like, so refreshed, So your sleeping environment also should be a very, restful but energetic thing, to sleep. So okay, so you get a good night's sleep. 6 hours is, usually is enough. It's enough. Anything more than that, you're working too hard, basically. And then you get up and you have a 3 o'clock in the morning. And the morning program is flexible. Basically, Brahma Muhurta means an hour and a half before sunrise. You don't have to get up at 4 o'clock. You can get up an hour and a half before sunrise. And then have a little puja, artik, and some kirtan, and Srimad Bhagavatam. And chant your rounds, And that's the morning program. You don't have to have Tulsi Puja, 10 offenses, Sringarti, Guru Puja. Just basic morning program I'm recommending is Mangalarti, Kirtan, Mangalarti, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. So then Grihastha, maybe he goes off, and on the way to work, maybe he always plays. He's playing one series of CDs every day. I know people like that. You know, for example, one devotee always listens to Hridayananda Maharaj's lectures on the way to work. Like that, his tape ministry. Like that. You know? So everybody has different, you know, different ashram. And again, if you're working, you know, based on 2 hours a day, is supposed to be enough to maintain yourself. But if you want like a Mercedes, you want like nice furniture, okay, 4 hours a day, you know. And it goes beyond, but you know, 8 hours a day is a maximum. You know, you should, other than that, it's over-endeavor. It's actually illicit what you're doing like that, you know. And 8 hours a day, you should be a billionaire, you know. Yeah. You're working properly. It's good in the morning time, focusing your mind, chanting good rounds, not spacing out, you know, not sleeping in the name of chanting, not daydreaming in the name of chanting, right? You're chanting, focusing. You come out, you know, you're conditioning yourself to submissive, critical, attentive listening. And if any job on earth, if you can listen to people attentively, submissively, but critically, you know, you're going to be the most valuable employee they got, right? They can teach you anything you need to know quickly and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. So it's good. It's good, you know, physically. So you make adjustments. You guys make an adjustment. You know, how much time? Stay up late at night with your friends watching, you know, Bart Simpson movies, eating pizza. You know, in the Grihastha ashram. Prabhupada told Keshava Bharati. He said, well, how often should I see my family? He said, before, after the morning program, you have breakfast with your family and talk about what's happening. In the evening, you have a little supper before the program and you like that. Is that enough? He said, yes, it's enough. You know, in the weekend, you spend more time. You know, yeah, Romeo and Juliet. No, you know, ladies have their friends, they're doing things, men have their friends, you know. Yeah. Right? Okay. Convinced? It's all a matter of adjustment. Huh? It's all a matter of adjustment. As a Prabhupada said at one time, you know, it was Naveen Krishna specifically asked Prabhupada this question, and Prabhupada said, okay, what do you have to do? And he went down, okay, so much time for the body, so much time for this and that and everything else like that, you know. And Naveen Krishna could see Prabhupada was trapping him like that, because yes, he did have time for everything like that. He had more than enough time like that. And he was asking how much time he spent for business, and he said sometimes 10 hours a day, and Prabhupada said, no. You know, 8 hours is sufficient. You know, Krishna, that's gambling or cheating. Krishna does not require this. You know, even less than that. You know, one devotee was working for a big computer company and they were laying off everybody. He did some project. He was doing about 40% of the time on temple projects, you know, when he was at work. And he did some report and turned it in, you know, got it done. And they said, okay, we want you to come to the office this afternoon. We want to talk about your report and your future with this company. He said, oh, okay, this is it. You know, they're going to chop my head off. So he went in and he said, look, you know, we told you we want to talk about your report and your future with the company here. Something we want to tell you, but we don't want you to tell anybody else this. This report is so good, we're sending it to Europe also like that. I want to give you a raise. Everybody else getting fired, you know. It was like, shocked, you know, like that. So, you know, he was happy. He was basically at an 8-hour-a-day job. He's only working, you know, was it 4.8 hours a day on company projects. The rest of the time he was engaged in things for devotional service, very interesting. And the company was happy, you know, and he was getting paid for the full 8 hours. So Krishna, you know, make adjustments like that, you know. Maybe you talk to the employees more like, you know, work so hard like everybody else. But because you're Krishna conscious, the company realizes, yeah, let him talk. He's the guy who keeps it all together and keeps people like, you know, motivated and good consciousness, you know. Since he's been here, the pilfering has dropped 80%. The employees aren't stealing from us anymore because they feel happy at the job. Okay. So Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki, Mahaprasadam ki, okay. Sankirtan Yajna ki, His Grace Amarendra Prabhu ki. His Grace. In North America, you're giving a lecture, and there's all these digital recorders around like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
In South America, you're giving a lecture,
all these tape recorders too.
Yeah, they sell us.